Blog Talk Radio.
To understand this, you have to go back to what young brother here referred to as the house Negro and the field Negro back during slavery. There was two kinds of slaves. There was the house Negro and the field Negro. The house Negro, they lived in the house with master. They dressed pretty good. They ate good because they ate his food, what he left. They lived in the attic or the basement, but still they lived near their master. And they loved their master more than the master loved himself. They would give their life to save their master's house quicker than the master would. The house Negro, if the master said, "We got a good house here," the house Negro said, "Yeah, we got a good house here." Whenever the master said "we," he said "we." That's how you can tell a house Negro. If the master's house caught on fire, the house Negro would fight harder to put the blaze out than the master would. If the master got sick, the house Negro would say, "What's the matter, boss? We sick. We sick." He identified himself with his master more than his master identified with himself. And if you came to the house Negro and said, "Let's run away, let's escape, let's separate," that house Negro would look at you and say, "Man, you crazy. What you mean separate? Where is there a better house than this? Where can I wear better clothes than this? Where can I eat better food than this?" That was that house Negro. In those days, he was called a house nigger. And that's what we call him today, because we still got some house niggers running around here. This modern house Negro loves his master. He wants to live near him. He'll pay three times as much as the house is worth just to live near his master. And then brag about, "I'm the only Negro out here." "I'm the only one on my job. I'm the only one in this school. You nothing but a house Negro." And if someone come to you right now and say, "Let's separate," you say the same thing that the house Negro said on the plantation. "What you mean separate? From America? This good white man? Where you gonna get a better job than you get here? I mean, this is what you say. I ain't left nothing in Africa." That's what you say. Why, you left your mind in Africa. On that same plantation, there was the field Negro. The field Negro, those were the masses. There was always more Negroes in the field than there was Negroes in the house. The Negro in the field caught hell. He ate leftovers. In the house, they ate high up on the hog. The Negro in the field didn't get nothing but what was left of the insides of the hog. They call them chitlins nowadays. In those days, they call them what they were, guts. That's what you were, a gut eater. And some of you are all still gut eaters. The field Negro was beaten from morning till night. He lived in a shack, in a hut. He wore cast-off clothes. And he hated his master. I say he hated his master. He was intelligent. That house Negro loved his master. But that field Negro, remember, they were in the majority. And they hated the master.
When the house caught on fire, he didn't try and put it out. That field Negro prayed for a wind, for a breeze. When the master got sick, the field Negro prayed that he died. If someone come to the field Negro and said, let's separate, let's run, he didn't say, where are we going? He said, any place is better than here. You got field Negroes in America today. I'm a field Negro. The masses are the field Negroes. When they see this man's house on fire, you don't hear these little Negroes talking about our government is in trouble. They say the government is in trouble. Imagine a Negro, our government. I even heard one say, our astronauts. They won't even let him near the plant. And our astronauts. Our Navy. That's a Negro that's out of his mind. That's a Negro that's out of his mind. Just as the slave master in that day used Tom, the house Negro, to keep the field Negroes in check, the same old slave master today has Negroes who are nothing but modern Uncle Toms, 20th century Uncle Toms, to keep you and me in check, keep us under control, keep us passive and peaceful and nonviolent. That's Tom making you nonviolent. It's like when you go to the dentist and the man is going to take your tooth. You're going to fight him when he starts pulling. So they squirt some stuff in your jaw called Novocaine to make you think they're not doing anything to you. So you sit there and because you got all that Novocaine in your jaw, you suffer peacefully. Blood running all down your jaw. And you don't know what's happening because someone has taught you to suffer peacefully. The white man do the same thing to you in the street. When he gonna want to put knots on your head and take advantage of you and don't have to be afraid of you fighting back, to keep you from fighting back, he get these old religious Uncle Toms to teach you and me that just like Novocaine, suffer peacefully. Don't stop suffering, just suffer peacefully. As Reverend Cleve pointed out, let your blood flow in the streets. This is a shame. And you know, he's a Christian preacher. If it's a shame to him, you know what it is to me. Because nothing in our book, the Quran, as you call it, Koran, teaches us to suffer peacefully. Our religion teaches us to be intelligent, be peaceful, be courteous, obey the law, respect everyone. But if someone puts his hand on you, send them to the cemetery.
Y'all there?
Yeah, we were here.
Oh, okay.
Yes, good evening. Thank you for tuning in to Chewbacca's Black Experience Enhanced. I'm your host tonight, Che Nkrumah. Be joined with other host, Lady Che. And tonight we have our guests, McKesidick and Ramel Understanding, the Anchorman. And we will be doing a tribute to Malcolm X. On his 97th birthday. His birthday was yesterday, so we're celebrating it for the whole next 24 hours. We are starting a 24-hour podcast with other pro-black platforms, marathon, paying homage to our ancestor Malcolm X. We will be discussing his birth, childhood, youth, incarceration, and his public image and legacy in regards to our struggle. We will also discuss the current times affecting us as a people in education, labor, current events, legal issues, politics, and economics. We will be producing the episode as time allows. Please inbox our Facebook page, Chewbacca's Black Experience Enhanced, for a schedule during the 24-hour period of May 19th to May 20th, 2022. Our Facebook like will have the information of the succeeding episodes and platforms. And this episode is for those that are 18 years or older. So, yeah, I have some clips from Malcolm X I wanted to play. But first, let's hear from our anchorman and Melchizedek.
Peace. This is Rommel understanding, the angel of peace from the east, understanding, understood, in the neighborhood of you, bringing to the hope without the door, official frontline campaign. Salute to the fallen soldiers. I'd like to present to you the one, the only, Melchizedek Shabbat Supreme Allah, Most High Priest of God himself, through the universe and on the eternal plane of thought. Melchizedek, can you tell us a little bit about what you know about Malcolm X? Because I know you were under him, under his tutelage, and he was your minister in New York, correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay. All right. Let me let y'all know it's a pleasure and an honor for y'all to invite me on the show. I really appreciate that, especially on a celebration of the Black God, of America, Malcolm X Shabazz. Okay. Melchizedek, let me introduce myself. Melchizedek Supreme, Shabazz Allah, known as the Universal High Priest of the Nation of Islam on earth and in the universe. Okay? Now, when you hear me speak of Malcolm, I'm speaking of Malcolm X under the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. That's the Malcolm I speak of. Okay? Now, I met Malcolm 1960 at the Temple Number 7 in New York. I just got out of prison. When I got out of prison, I went to the temple because Malcolm used to come. Well, let me explain. When I was doing time, the 5X, who was already a Muslim brother under the teaching of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, was already in prison. I met him in state prison. Okay? Then he was the one that was teaching Islam in Greenhaven State Prison in the yard, okay? And Malcolm used to come up and visit him at once a week or sometimes twice a week and bring the teachings and share the wisdom and the teachings with him that he received from the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And then Walter 5X will share with us in the yard. So I happened to be walking around the yard one day, me and other brothers talking and so forth, and we passed by the table of Walter 5X. And he was getting down. He was saying the black man is God, the white man is the devil. You see all those correctional officers up there on the chairs with the tear gas, machine guns, and riot guns and everything. He said those are devils, and they are here looking for an excuse to kill us. So when I passed by and heard that, I said to the other brothers who was with me, "Wow, that brother, he must never be planning, never plan to get out of here." Teaching, dropping all that kind of, teaching like that. So he had to look at me and said, "And if you don't come to this table, you ain't getting out of here." Okay. So anyway, to make a long story short, so I said, "Okay, brother." So we kept on walking and so forth. About a day or two later, I'm in the prison yard. And he approached me and asked me, "Do I do a lot of reading?" I said, "Sure, I'll read anything in here to keep my mind positive." Okay, so he had bought me these articles. Malcolm X bought him the articles of the Pittsburgh Courier that the messenger was, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, was writing his lectures in. Because after the 5 years that he did in prison, when he came out, putting everything together, it was no message of the black man, no books or anything, just the lessons. So he started dealing with articles from the writing in the Pittsburgh Courier paper and Amsterdam News, okay, articles. And that's why those two papers got rich, because the Muslims were selling them papers all over the country. Well, anyway, when I got out prison, Temple Number 7, okay, and because Malcolm put the word out to Walter 5X that he wanted to meet the brothers who was in New York State prison with Walter. Oh, now with Walter and Malcolm X. Malcolm, I want you to remember this. Malcolm X, Walter 5X. Now, he was Walter 5X, he was Bilal Shabazz Allah, and he was Mahmoud Ramza. That's the same brother. Him and Malcolm was the one that put the writ together to have the teachings of Islam taught in the prison system, penal institution, okay? And that writ was filed under the heading of Paul D. McGinnis was commissioner of corrections at that time, okay? So, and we won. Eventually we won. It had told, the word went out that we was writing that writ to have the teachings of Islam taught in prison. So the correctional officers put the word out that all those who signed that writ, that they wouldn't come get out of there alive. So Walter 5X, all those brothers that was down, he said, now listen, this is what we got to do to get these teachings in here. So all those who wants to do this, you have the right to do it. And all those who don't, we understand, it's not compulsory. He said, but those who decide to do it, make some crescents, or take your pillowcase and make a crescent the best you can, a moon and a star, and put that over your bedpost. So in case if they do come down on us like that, those who are not down, the innocent ones won't be harmed. We'll take those who are down to get these teachings in here, they'll take the responsibility, sacrifice to have it done, but it won't be a burden on those who don't participate in that. So anyway, the way Malcolm was going around the country smoking, I mean, he was burning America down with the Islam, okay? And so by him having such a reputation all over America and coming in and out of Greenhaven State Prison, that would save us. They didn't take a chance on harming us because of the fact they didn't want that to be exposed to the world, because they knew Malcolm's reputation and him coming in and out of Greenhaven State Prison. Okay. So anyway, after we had gotten released and so forth, Malcolm wanted to meet the brothers who was in prison that made that sacrifice. So when Walter got in touch with me to come to the temple, and on Temple Number 7 on 116th Street in Lenox Avenue, that's when I first met Malcolm in the Salam restaurant. Okay, and when he came in, we were sitting down. He said, "Let's go to the back." So he came in with Captain Joseph. Joseph was the captain at the time, and so him and Captain Joseph came in, and he said, "We go to the back." And when Malcolm came in, brother, it was a giant. It was like God walking, coming through the door. The energy, the power of his presentation was so powerful, brother. It was like you was looking at God, okay? So we went in the back and introduced himself and Mr. Malcolm X. And at that time, I was Ernest Spy. I was Ernest, my slave name was Ernest Spathea, but my street name was Frenchy and Scopio. So he introduced himself, and he told Joseph, these brothers here, whatever they want, whenever they want to see me, whatever you could do for them, you do that for them, because with the role they play in sacrificing themselves in prison, okay, to have these teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught in prison, that was remarkable. And the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad was so impressed about our performance, he named it Greenhaven State Prison Temple 7.5, and named Walter 5X, who's Bilal Shabazz Allah, Mahmoud Ramza, as the minister. Okay. Now, so then after the following week, I came to the temple, to the FOI class. And that's when I came to the FOI class. I met Clarence 13X was there, Minister Farrakhan was there. And I started meeting the other brothers who was at, in the FOI class. Okay. So the rest is, and then we Malcolm had a public speaking class set up. So the public speaking class was to train us to be community leaders and also ministers. So we were in that. So Clarence 13X was in there, Malcolm, the Farrakhan, all the brothers who want to be community leaders and ministers was in that public speaking class. Okay. Now, but to get to the reality of Malcolm, there was nobody in the Nation of Islam close to the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad like Malcolm. Malcolm was his top student, okay? Malcolm was the one that went all over the country setting up. Malcolm set up 46 temples. Malcolm. Malcolm set up 46 universities. Malcolm. Malcolm put together the Muhammad Speaks newspaper and gave it to the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad as a gift. Malcolm. Malcolm was the one that went through all those colleges throughout the country. He raised up the Huey Newtons, Bobby Seale, Fred Hampton, Angela Davis, Rap Brown, Stokey Carmichael, Charles Sokol, the sister that's in Cuba, the Sadat brothers. All those militants was college students, and Malcolm raised all them up with the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Okay? There is nobody in America that's qualified to shine Malcolm's shoes, kiss his feet, sit in his seat, or sit on his toilet stool. Malcolm was God of America. Malcolm, God, the top high echelon taught by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Okay? And he's all over the world. All Malcolm took the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad all over the world, deep with those teachings. Malcolm is well known to the day all over the world, okay? All the college students, all his lectures that he spoke on, 50, like the one you just wrote, the House Negro and the Field Negro. He did that over 50 years ago, and that's still popular today just like he did it yesterday. You understand what I'm trying to say? And if you go on Netflix on Malcolm X and Muhammad Ali's relationship, you'll see on Netflix, Malcolm X and the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Muhammad Ali, and you see me, Netflix put me on that same level with Muhammad Ali and Malcolm X as high echelons. Netflix did that because they introduced me. Netflix interviewed me for 2 hours on the history of Malcolm. Okay, Netflix got the whole interview. They got that. Okay, but out of that interview that I did with them for 2 hours, they took out the parts that they wanted for the documentary. So when you go in the documentary, you're gonna see me getting down on, you know, on Netflix, but you won't see the whole 2 hour interview because other people's on there. You got Muhammad Ali, you got Malcolm X, you got Sharpton on there, you got these other historians, you know, different people. So they go around, all around, keep going back and forth. But they show me about five or six, about several times, making statements, you know, powerful statements pertaining to the greatness of Malcolm X. Okay, now, so that's where we are. There'll always be a Malcolm. The mentality, the mind, and the mentality of Malcolm is out there forever. Every generation, there will be a mentality of Malcolm, the mind of Malcolm. Because of his greatness, because of the impact. You understand what I'm trying to say? All the college students, even today, is into Malcolm. Malcolm, even though he's dead, he's bringing more people dead, just like he did when he was alive. You understand what I'm trying to say? That's how powerful Malcolm is. So for y'all to put on a celebration for Malcolm's in remembrance and respect of Malcolm, that's a blessing by itself, brother. That's a blessing by itself.
Thank you, God.
Okay? Malcolm is the man. Okay, now, but keep in mind, his spiritual father, he was taught by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Melchizedek comes under the teaching of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Clarence 13 Edgar comes under the teaching of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And I want you all to understand,
yes, sir,
there was no supreme wisdom in America until it was brought to America by Master W.D. Farad Muhammad, the one who taught the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and left the wisdom with the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad shared it, spread it all over America. Okay? But Malcolm, hey, nobody's qualified to wear Malcolm's shoes. I'll make that plain. Nobody is qualified to wear Malcolm's shoes. And we're all walking on Malcolm's foundation. And another high guard is Clarence 13X. Because when he left the temple and came out in the street with the 120, which is the supreme wisdom, and 120 is the same thing, he shared that with all them young brothers. And the 5% nation, which is the gods and earth, they're all over the country. They're all over the country. The nation of Islam and the gods and earth, 5% nations, those two oppose deals with the universal knowledge. Knowledge that came down from the universal Most High God in the shape, form, and fashion of Master W.D. Farad Muhammad. Okay?
Thank you, brother.
So
thank
I'm open brother. For anybody want to ask questions, I'm open. No problem.
Thank you so much, Melchizedek. Back to you, Mr. Host, Paris.
Yeah, so, Romel, did you have anything to add about Malcolm X?
I just think that Malcolm X was a strong leader in the community. He definitely caused a chain reaction of consciousness where people became more awake and people kind of rose from a mental death. If it wasn't for him, a lot of people who started a lot of movements wouldn't have gotten the spark they got from Malcolm. If they wouldn't have got the spark from Malcolm, they wouldn't have did what they did, because Clarence 13X, otherwise known as Almighty God Allah or Father Allah, who started 5%ers, he was under the teachings of Malcolm X and Elijah Muhammad. Malcolm was the minister, and Elijah was basically the messenger. And the minister was under the messenger, and, you know, when the father left, he left with those teachings, and he had a strong influence from Malcolm X. So I thank Malcolm X for everything he's done for my nation.
Yes, sir. I have some clips I wanted to play.
Go ahead, brother.
This afternoon, we want to talk about the ballot or the bullet. The ballot or the bullet explains itself. But before we get into it, since this is the year of the ballot or the bullet, I would like to clarify some things that refer to me personally concerning my own personal positions. I'm still a Muslim. That is, my religion is still Islam. My religion is still Islam. I still credit Mr. Muhammad for what I know and what I am. He's the one who opened my eyes. So today, though Islam is my religious philosophy, my political, economic, and social philosophy is black nationalism. You and I... As I say, if we bring up religion, we'll have differences, we'll have arguments, we'll never be able to get together. But if we keep our religion at home, keep our religion in the closet, keep our religion between ourselves and our God, but when we come out here, we have a fight that's common to all of us against the enemy who is common to all of us. Whether you are a Christian or a Muslim or a nationalist, we all have the same problem. They don't hang you because you're a Baptist. They hang you because you're black. They don't attack me because I'm a Muslim. They attack me because I'm black. They attack all of us for the same reason. All of us catch hell from the same enemy. We're all in the same bag, in the same boat. We suffer political oppression, economic exploitation, and social degradation. All of them from the same enemy. The government has failed us. You can't deny that. Anytime you live in the 20th century and you walking around here singing, "We shall overcome," the government has failed. This is part of what's wrong with you. You do too much singing. Today it's time to stop singing and start swinging. And I'm here to tell you, in case you don't know it, that you got a new generation of black people in this country who don't care anything whatsoever about odds. They don't want to hear you, old Uncle Tom, handkerchief heads, talking about the odds. This is a new generation. If they're going to draft these young black men and send them over to Korea or South Vietnam to face 800 million Chinese, if you're not afraid of those odds, you shouldn't be afraid of these odds. And when I speak, I don't speak as a Democrat or a Republican, nor an American. I speak as a victim of America's so-called democracy. You and I have never seen democracy. All we've seen is hypocrisy. We don't see any American dream. We've experienced only the American nightmare. And the generation that's coming up now can see it and are not afraid to say it. If you go to jail, so what? If you're black, you were born in jail. If you're black, you were born in jail. In the North as well as the South. Stop talking about the South. Long as you're south of the Canadian border, you're South. This is why I say it's the ballot or the bullet. It's liberty or it's death. It's freedom for everybody or freedom for nobody. America today finds herself in a unique situation. Historically, revolutions are bloody. Oh, yes, they are. They have never had a bloodless revolution or a nonviolent revolution. That don't happen even in Hollywood. You don't have a revolution in which you love your enemy. And you don't have a revolution in which you're begging the system of exploitation to integrate you into it. Revolutions overturn systems. Revolutions destroy systems. A revolution is bloody. But America is in a unique position. She's the only country in history in a position actually to become involved in a bloodless revolution. All she's got to do is give the black man in this country everything that's doing. Everything. I hope that the white man can see this. Because if you don't see it, you're finished. If you don't see it, you're going to become involved in some action in which you don't have a chance. We don't care anything about your atomic bomb. It's useless.
because other countries have atomic bombs. When two or three different countries have atomic bombs, nobody can use it. So it means that the white man today is without a weapon. If you want some action, you got to come on down to earth. And there's more black people on earth than there are white people on earth. It'll be the ballot, or it'll be the bullet. It'll be liberty, or it'll be death. And if you're not ready to pay that price, don't use the word freedom in your vocabulary.
Yeah, so that was a snippet. That was a snippet of my favorite speech from Malcolm X, which is Ballad and the Bullet.
There's another powerful one. Message to the Grassroots.
Yeah, I was
you got that
to
one?
Get it up. I have it.
Yeah, Message to the Grassroots.
I have it uploaded. Let me see if I can pull it up.
That's a powerful one, that Message to the Grassroots. That's another one.
Yeah. Yeah, that Message to the Grassroots is a real good one, too.
Yeah. And this has been brought to you by frontlinecampaign.org. Frontlinecampaign.org. Check us out. And vote Jesse Parrish for Mayor of Denver 2023.
Yep, Parrish for Mayor.
And it's a beautiful celebration in honor and respect of a giant, a black god, Malcolm.
Yes.
Malcolm Shabazz. Malcolm Shabazz. Beautiful.
Yes, sir.
That was wonderful.
Yes, sir.
You're doing an excellent job. That was an excellent.
Thank you, Mr. Sir.
Thank you.
Paris, how old are you? 33?
And during the
35.
We have left,
35.
We want to have just an off-the-cuff chat between you and me. Us. We want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand. We all agree tonight, all of the thinkers have agreed, that America has a very serious problem. Not only does America have a very serious problem, but our people have a very serious problem. America's problem is us. We're her problem. The only reason she has a problem is she doesn't want us
here.
And every time you look at yourself, be you black, brown, red, or yellow, a so-called Negro, you represent a person who poses such a serious problem for America because you're not wanted. Once you face this as a fact, then you can start plotting a course that will make you appear intelligent instead of unintelligent. What you and I need to do is learn to forget our differences. When we come together, we don't come together as Baptists or Methodists. You don't catch hell because you're a Baptist, and you don't catch hell because you're a Methodist. You don't catch hell because you're a Methodist, because you're a Democrat or a Republican. You don't catch hell because you're a Mason or an Elk. And you sure don't catch hell because you're an American, because if you was an American, you wouldn't catch no hell. You catch hell because you're a black man. You catch hell, all of us catch hell for the same reason. So we are all black people, so-called Negroes, second-class citizens, ex-slaves. You are nothing but an ex-slave. You don't like to be told that. But what else are you? You are ex-slave. You didn't come here on the Mayflower. You came here in a slave ship. In chains. Like a horse or a cow or a chicken. And you were brought here by the people who came here on the Mayflower. You were brought here by the so-called pilgrims or founding fathers. They were the ones who brought you here. We have a common enemy. We have this in common. We have a common oppressor, a common exploiter, and a common discriminator. So once we all realize that we have a good common enemy, then we unite on the basis of what we have in common. And what we have foremost in common is that enemy, the white man. He's an enemy to all of us. I know some of you all think that some of them are enemies. Time will tell. In Bandung, which back in, I think, 1954, was the first unity meeting in centuries of black people. And once you study what happened at the Bandung Conference and the results of the Bandung Conference, it actually serves as a model for the same procedure you and I can use to get our problems solved. At Bandung, all the nations came together, nations from Africa and Asia. Some of them were Buddhists. Some of them were Muslim. Some of them were Christian. Some of them were Confucianists. Some were atheists. Despite their religious differences, they came together. Some were communists. Some were socialists. Some were capitalists. Despite their economic and political differences, they came together. All of them were black, brown, red, or yellow. The number one thing that was not allowed to attend the Bandung Conference was the white man. He couldn't come. Once they excluded the white man, they found that they could get together. Once they kept him out, everybody else fell right in and fell in line. This is the thing that you and I have to understand. And these people who came together didn't have nuclear weapons. They didn't have jet planes. They didn't have all of the heavy armaments.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Parrish.
Wait, it cut off?
It cut off, yeah. Can you hear us first?
Okay, well, open up for people to have questions.
Okay, anybody got any questions online? Is anybody online right now?
No,
I think
it's
just me and you, Metzik. Okay. Yeah, there's only us three here right now. So I'm surprised anybody get on. But Metzik, I'm wondering, man, what was the mentality back then, man? You know, when Malcolm was there, and y'all were basically building up the Nation of Islam at that time. I mean, what was the theme? I mean, what was the main cause?
But the main thing, the reason why it made Malcolm so powerful, because all of the FOIs, the majority of the FOIs that was under Malcolm, they came out of prison. We was hardcore. We was you know, hardcore streetwise, did time for all different types of, you know, crime that takes place in the street. You know, drug pushes. You know, killers, armed robbery, drug pushers, murderers, and all that. It was the grassroots, the prison, the street mentality, and the prison mentality that built the nation. That's what the nation was built. So, by Malcolm being in, you know, had been in prison at that time himself, he was able to speak that language of that type of mentality. You understand? So the majority of the FOIs that was there, there was prison. They had the time. They were streetwise. They had participated in all the illegal activities that takes place in the street. You know, and this is what Malcolm surrounded himself with, because he spoke their language, and was at the time when a lot of us was ready to was looking for a change anyway. You know what I'm saying? You know, we got the point looking for a better way, and Malcolm provided us with a better way with the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You understand? Because a lot of us at the crossroads. I mean, I'm in there, drugs, homicide, and all that kind of stuff, and I had a wife and four children out there, so I was looking for a better way of life. So that's why I was attracted to the Nation of Islam, and with Malcolm. And with the discipline, See, under Malcolm, was discipline was very important for the brothers to come out of prison, because a lot of us were still on parole and everything, you know. By being on parole, you had to make that report every other week, and some was once a month. So you had to have a, you keep yourself
structured,
state, had discipline yourself in order so they won't be used, has no excuse to send you back to pick up your time. You understand? So with Malcolm was the neat, clean, organized, no alcohol, no drugs, no marijuana, none of that, no pork, none of that. It was that discipline, that FOI, under Malcolm, man, even today, is the best discipline for young brothers who's trying to make a new life for themselves. You understand? Trying to be somebody, mm-hmm. or trying to come out the criminal world and go into the civilized world. You follow what I'm saying? This is very important because you can't deal with, you come to the understanding with this universal supreme knowledge with understanding. How are you going to have this universal divine supreme wisdom understanding as God, that brings you face to face with the reality of the fact that the black man is God, and you're still dealing with the negative forces like the alcohol, the drugs, the marijuana, and so forth. You understand what I'm trying to say? See? So
yes,
once
sir.
You get that knowledge, that wisdom, that understanding, even though you're in that world, you're not of that world. You don't participate of the negative forces of that world because your wisdom is above it. So you can walk through environment, that street environment, and not partake of it, because the knowledge you have of God within yourself is above it. You follow what I'm trying to say? And this is what we needed at that time. Yes, that you aren't right. You understand? And this is what was very important. This is what made Malcolm so powerful. Malcolm dealt with hardcore street. He raised hardcore street. Yeah, he wouldn't deal with nobody, well, no mama's boys and those who were going to church on Sunday. He raised hardcore street. You understand what I'm trying to say?
Yes, sir.
And it was hardcore street that attracted them to Malcolm's magnetic, Malcolm had that magnetic attracting power. You understand what I'm trying to say? When you came in contact with Malcolm, or when you sat under his lectures, under his speeches, brother, he Malcolm made you believe that you can do anything that you choose to do, and he also made you believe that you can't die. So with the mentality of that reality that you can't die, and you got the knowledge and with the understanding of the black man is God, man, you, hey, brother, therefore I was powerful. They was powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All those that thought they was bad, the drug putting and stuff, we were sticking them up and sticking them up. Okay? And taking their money, giving it to the temple, and Malcolm taking the money, shipping it to Chicago to build a nation. You understand what I'm trying to say? It was Malcolm's demand. Made any, all you, when you say Malcolm, it's like you're talking about God. You understand what I'm trying to say? Malcolm was a black God. And not just Malcolm. Another one behind Malcolm was Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad. Dr. Khalid was powerful,
yeah, Dr.
brother.
Khalid, yeah.
Dr. Khalid was powerful.
Right,
he was a black God. He was a black God also. Oh, yeah. He was powerful now. And Dr. Khalid.
He was under Malcolm, too. He was with y'all.
He wasn't under Malcolm. He came after Malcolm. After Malcolm. But he had the same mentality as Malcolm. He had the same mentality as Malcolm, that magnetic attracting power, that jailhouse thing. You understand what I'm saying? And mostly all the brothers that was under Malcolm came out of prison. Yeah, mostly all of them came out of prison. You know, and I tell you something, the best one, the ones that come out of prison is usually the best one, because they want a change. They're looking for a change. You know what I'm trying to say? Because they know what it is. They know what it is to take advantage of the people, you know, by their activities and so forth. You understand what I'm saying? But Malcolm is God, brother. You can, all the goodness, all the fearlessness, all the knowledge, the wisdom. When you say knowledge, wisdom, understanding, and fairness, hey, that's Malcolm. And when you, Malcolm produced God. He was a, that's what I was looking for. Malcolm was a producer of gods with the teachings of the Muhammad. You was a God. You under Malcolm? You listen to Malcolm? You was a God. Mm-hmm. To comprehend what Malcolm was dropping, that was he was that, that's what the brother just played, the house Negro and the field Negro and the battle of the bullet and Message of the Grassroots, to sit down and absorb that those lectures of Malcolm, you become, if you ain't God, you're gonna become a God.
Hmm.
Okay. Yeah. You're gonna be, and then, and another one he did was Black Man's History. Whoo, man. I don't know if the brother got that one, if he had that one.
Let me see.
How long was that
history.
One, bro?
Huh? He got that? Black
that
Man's
was
History?
Long.
How long is that?
Oh,
Black
yeah.
Man
that was, he went to Yaku's history. He dropped the whole Yaku. He walked through Yaku history with that one. It's called Black Man's History. Malcolm did. It's part one and part two. He dropped it. He dropped it.
Okay, so it's pretty lengthy. Okay.
Yeah, Malcolm. Malcolm was the man. Malcolm, under the teaching. The Malcolm was the black God.
No, this is my question. How can we do, I don't want to say duplicate, but do the same thing that y'all were doing back then now, where we could generate some kind of mental revolution and take the devil off our mental plane nowadays, you know, and to help our community, free our community from drugs, alcohol, and all that nonsense that's going on in society right now. How can what can we do?
Well, what
Mel,
you doing
gonna,
right now? Supply.
I was going to play Black
blood.
Man's History real quick.
Oh, you
okay,
got it?
Go
you
ahead.
Got it? Go ahead.
Yeah.
And now, our feature presentation.
Let's go!
A good preliminary basic understanding of the aims and the objectives of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And also, I'm thankful to Allah for seeing so many out here tonight, especially just before Christmas. You know, it's next to a miracle when you get this many of our people together so close to Christmas. Interested in anything whatsoever that's serious. And actually what this shows is the change that's taking place among the so-called Negroes, not only here in New York, but throughout America, throughout the entire world. Throughout the entire world today, God's mankind is waking up and undergoing a new type of thinking. And this new type of thinking is creating new approaches and new reactions that make it almost impossible to figure out what the black man is going to do next. And by black man, we mean, as we're taught by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, we mean that this includes those who are not white. He teaches us that black is the basic color in all colors. Black is the foundation or the basis. And all of our people, or all of the people who have not yet become white are still black, or are at least part of the black nation. So here at Muhammad's Mosque, when you hear us use the term black, including everybody who is here, whatever, despite your complexion, if you're here at the mosque, you're black. Because the only ticket you need to get into Muhammad's Mosque is to be black. So if you got in, you know you're black. You may not have known you were black before you came here. In fact, very few of our people really look upon themselves as being black. They think of as practically everything else on the color spectrum except black. And no matter how dark one of our people may be, you never hear him call himself black. But now that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has been teaching among the so-called Negroes, you'll find our people at all complexions running around here bragging about I'm a black man. Well, this shows you that a new teaching is taking place and that there is new thinking among the so-called Negroes. If just yesterday you would have to admit that it was very difficult to get our people to refer to themselves as black, and then now all of a sudden you find all of us of all complexions not apologizing for being black, but bragging about being black. Well, there's a new thinking that has sprung up here in America among the so-called Negroes. And the one who is actually the author of this new thinking is the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. It is what he is teaching that's making our people for the first time proud to be black. And what's most important of all, for the first time, it makes our people want to know more about black, want to know why black is good, or what there is about black that's good. I might stop right here to point out, some of you may say, well, I come out here to listen to some religion of Islam, and all I hear you talk about is black. We don't separate our religion from our color, nor do we separate our color from our religion. The white man does. The white man never has separated Christianity from white, nor has he separated white from Christianity. When you have a white man bragging about, I'm a Christian, he's bragging about he's a white man. And he has a Negro. When you hear him bragging about he's a Christian, he's bragging about he's a white man. Or he wants to be white. And usually those Negroes who brag like that, I think you'll have to agree, their songs and the things that they sing in church, they're out. That they have a greater desire to be white than anything else. My mother was a Christian. And father was a Christian. And I used to hear them, when I was a little child, sing songs, wash me white as snow. My father was a black man, and my mother was a black woman. But yet the songs that they sang in their church were designed to fill their heart with a desire to be white. So many people, especially our people, they would get resentful to hear us say something like this. But then, rather than get resentful, all they have to do is think back over many of the songs and much of the teaching and the doctrine that they were taught while they were going to church, and they'll have to agree that it was all designed to make us look down at black and up at white. So the religion that we have, the religion of Islam, the religion that makes us Muslim, the religion that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is teaching us here in America today, is designed to undo in our mind what the white man has done to us. It's designed to undo the type of brainwashing that we had to undergo for 400 years at the hands of the white man in order to bring us down to the level that we're on today. So, when you hear us use great, when you hear us often refer to black and almost in a boastful way, actually we're not boasting, we're speaking of it in a factual sense, all we're doing is telling the truth about our people. Whenever you exalt black, that's not propaganda. When you exalt white, that's propaganda. Because no one can give biological evidence that there is any basis to elevate white or place white above everything else. But you can give biological evidence to show where black actually is the stronger and the superior of the two if you want to make that kind of comparison. So never think ill of the person whom you hear representing the Honorable Elijah Muhammad if an overemphasis seems to be placed upon black.
Oops, sorry.
But rather sit and analyze and try and get an understanding. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that of all the things the black man can study, or any man can study for that matter, history is best qualified to reward all research. You have to have a knowledge of history no matter what you're going to do. Anything that you undertake, you have to have a knowledge of history in order to be successful in it. The thing that has made the so-called Negro in America fail more so than any other thing is your and my lack of knowledge concerning history. We know less about history than anything else. There are black people in America who have mastered the mathematical sciences, have become professors and experts in physics, are able to toss Sputniks out there in the atmosphere, out in space. They're masters in that field. We have
black men who have mastered the field of medicine. We have black men who have mastered other fields. But very seldom do we have black men in America who have mastered the knowledge of history of the black man himself. They are experts. We have among our people those who are experts in every field. But seldom can you find one from among us who is an expert on the history of the black man. And because of his knowledge concerning the history of the black man, no matter how much he excels in these other sciences, he's always confined. He's always relegated to the same low rung of the ladder that the dumbest of our people are relegated to. And all of this stems from his lack of knowledge concerning history. What made Dr. George Washington Carver a Negro scientist instead of a scientist? What made Paul Robeson a Negro actor instead of an actor? What made Ralph Bunche, or makes Ralph Bunche, a Negro statesman instead of a statesman? The only difference between Bunche and Carver and these others whom I just mentioned, they don't know the history of the black man. Bunche is an expert, an international politician, a politician on the international level, but Bunche doesn't know himself. He has no knowledge of the history of his own people. He can be sent all over the world by America to solve problems for America, or to solve problems for other nations, but he can't solve problems for his own people in this country. Why? What is it that ties our people up in this way? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says it boils down to just one word, history. When you study the history of Bunche, his history is different from the history of the black man who just comes here from Africa. And if you notice Bunche was in Atlanta, Georgia during the summer, NAACP convention. He was Jim Crowed. He was segregated. He was not allowed to go in a hotel down there. Yet there are Africans who can come here black as night and go in some of these cracker hotels. Well, what is the difference between Bunche and one of them? The difference is Bunche doesn't know his history, and they, the Africans, do know their history. They may come here out of the jungle, but they know their history. They may come here wearing sheets with a head all wrapped up, but they know their history. You and I can come out of Harvard, but we don't know our history. And the basic difference in why we are treated as we are, one knows his history and one doesn't know his history. The American Negro doesn't know his history. The American so-called Negro is a soldier who doesn't know his history. He's a servant in America who doesn't know his history. He's a graduate from Harvard or Columbia or Yale or Howard or Tuskegee who doesn't know his history. And because he doesn't know his history, he's confined. He's limited. He's held under the control and the jurisdiction of the white man who knows more about the history of the Negro than the Negro knows about himself. But when you and I wake up, as we talked about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and learn our history, learn the history of our kind as well as the history of the white kind, then the white man is at a disadvantage and we're at an advantage. The only thing that puts you and me at a disadvantage is our lack of knowledge concerning history. So one of the reasons, one of the missions, one of the objectives of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad here in America is not only to teach you and me the right religion.
Yeah.
And
okay. So that was the first part of that speech.
Is there part two on black man's history? We are going to Yaku history.
Put that one on there. Okay.
Now, our feature presentation.
But to teach you and me history. In fact, do you know that if you and I know history, we know the right religion? The only way right now that you can become confused, become mixed up and not know which religion belongs to God is if you don't know history. In fact, you have to know history to know something about God. You have to know history to know something about God's religion. You have to know history to know something about God's people. You have to know history to know something about God's plans and God's purposes. And as I say, the only people who don't know history are the American so-called Negroes. If you know history, for an example, whenever you look at this religion right here, the only way you can explain it is to have a knowledge of history. Why is it called Christianity? It's called Christianity, they say, because it was named after a man called Christ, who was born 2,000 years ago. Now, you know, brothers and sisters, God is an old God, and the world is an old world. The universe has been here a long time. I think all of you will agree that the universe has been here longer than 2,000 years. And you'll also agree that the universe was made by God himself, that God created the universe. God created the people who were on this earth. God wouldn't create a universe. God wouldn't put a sun up in the sky and make nine planets rotate around it, all of them inhabit it. You and I inhabiting the planet Earth upon which we live. God wouldn't have done all of this and not given people a religion. God puts his religion here at the creation of the universe. God's religion is as old as the universe. In fact, God's religion is older than the universe. Now then, since you agree to this, and you also agree that Christ was born 2,000 years ago, which means Christianity is only 2,000 years old, this couldn't have been God's religion. If your knowledge of history shows you that God couldn't call his religion Christianity, because Christianity is only 2,000 years old. So if this is the case, then what was God's religion called before the birth of Christ? Can you see the importance of history? Why, if you didn't know history, you'd think that this was God's religion. And you'd be running around here practicing this, wondering why everybody doesn't practice this. Because some people have a better knowledge of history than others do. It is only the people whose knowledge of history is limited who try and jump up and say that Christianity is the name of God's religion. If Christianity hasn't always been the name of God's religion, it now isn't the name of God's religion. God doesn't change the name of his religion. God doesn't even change his religion. God doesn't change his mind. God's mind is made up from the beginning. He doesn't have to change his mind, because he knows all there is to know all the way down the wheel of time. He never has to change his mind. His mind is made up. His knowledge is complete. It's all encompassing. Do you understand? So, once you can see, and I think you can, that it's almost impossible for God to call this his religion. What did God call his religion? Christians are the ones who call God's religion Christianity. But God was here before Christians came on the scene. They tell you that the Christians had their beginning back there with the Romans. One of the Roman emperors who supposedly accepted the teachings of some of Jesus' disciples and then named what the disciples taught Christianity. But Jesus didn't even call it Christianity. This wasn't named this until 200 or 300 years after Jesus was dead. Right or wrong? Any history book will tell this. Any Bible will tell this. Any religion, any theologian should have a knowledge of this. And the only Negroes who will contend with this are those who don't know history. And most Negroes don't know history. And most Negroes will contend with it. But when you tell it to the white man, he shuts his mouth. Because he knows that this is true. So then those who have studied a little deeper, they'll say, well, before it was called Christianity, it was called Judaism. Isn't this what they say? Named after a man called Judah. This right here doesn't follow logic. If Christianity became named this after Christ was born, and before Christ was born, the religion was called Judaism, then that means that this got its name from the son of Jacob, whose name was Judah. But history tells us that Jacob was serving God before Judah was born, which shows us that Jacob's religion couldn't have been Judaism. And Isaac was Jacob's father. He was serving God before Jacob, his son, was born. Isaac was Judah's grandfather. And Abraham was Judah's great-grandfather. Meaning Abraham was on the scene long before Judah came on the scene. Now, you couldn't call Abraham's religion Judaism, because there was no such thing as Judaism in Abraham's day. There was no such thing as Judaism in Isaac's day or in Jacob's day. Do you understand? So what was God's religion before they called it Judaism? And this is something that the white man has never taught you and me. The white man is afraid to let you and me know what God's religion was called in Abraham's day, because Abraham was supposed to have been known as the father of all of them. He was supposed to be the progenitor of all of them. He's supposed to be one of God's first servants. One of the first to submit to God is supposed to be Abraham. Now, if you can see this, then find out what was Abraham's religion. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us Abraham's religion was the religion of Islam. If Islam only means complete submission to God, complete obedience to God. Abraham obeyed God. Abraham obeyed God so much so that when God told Abraham to take his son and sacrifice, stick a dagger in his heart. Is that what he told him? Abraham took his only son up on the mountain and was going to sacrifice him to God, showing you that he believed in Islam. What does Islam mean? Obey God. Submit to God. So that this name here, if you notice, has no connection, no association with the birth of a man. This is not a man's name. This doesn't come from a man. This comes from a man. Buddhism was named after a man called Buddha. Confucianism was named after a man called Confucius. Right or Confucius, right or wrong. So likewise with Judaism and Christianity. But Islam is not connected with any man. Islam is independent of any man. Islam is an act, which means submit completely to God or obey God. And when you say your religion is Islam, that means you're a Muslim. So to clarify this, what must you do? You must have a knowledge of history. If you don't have a knowledge of history, you'll run around calling yourself a Christian, swearing you're serving God. Or you run around saying that your religion is Judaism, you swear you're serving God. If your religion is Christianity, you follow in Christ. If your religion is Judaism, you follow in Judah. If your religion is Buddhism, you follow in Buddha. Do you understand? And they're all dead. And if you follow them, you'll die too. This is what it means. Wherever your leader is, that's what happens to you. Now, we who follow the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, we believe in Islam. We don't believe in Muhammad. We believe in Islam. He teaches us the religion of Islam. Do you understand the difference? These people follow, they believe in Christ. They believe Christ is God. Oh, yes, they do. And he was born of the blessed Virgin. That's what they believe. Didn't have a father, just a spirit. And then came into the world and was crucified and rose from the dead and went up into space. They believe that. But they believe that because they don't know history. But you'll find the people, if you notice, the Jews have a greater knowledge of history than the Christians do. Do they not? The Christian history only goes back 2,000 years. The history of the Jews go back beyond 4,000 years. Can you see that? And the Muslim history goes back. There's no limit to the Muslim history. If you notice, the Christians can only go back to what they call the Greek Empire. Usually they go back to that's what they call the Occidental, the beginning of the Occident, the Greek Empire, Roman Empire, and so forth.
Lost sheep.
But the Jews have a knowledge of history that goes back into Egypt and Babylon. You notice how they all go back farther than the other. But now the Muslim history goes back. It has no limit. There are no chains on how far you can go back when you're a Muslim. The Christian and the Jew combined go back to whom? To Adam. And they stop right there. And they say, beyond him, there was nothing happening. Well, this is because they don't know. But the more history they learn, the greater their knowledge of history is, this has an influence on the type of religion that they accept. You understand? All praises to God. Another example. What makes the royal family of Europe or any country different from the peasant? Royalty knows its ancestry. Royalty knows its history. This is what makes them royal. You can't have a king who can't trace his history on back into his forefathers. The only way he can be king is to be born a king. But if you take away his history and he doesn't know who his forefathers are, what does he become? A peasant, a common ordinary man. Same with the Jews and the Christians. It's because the Jews have the longest record of history that they can call themselves the chosen people. The Christians can't call themselves the chosen people because their history is not long enough. They can't go back to the time when the choice was being made. But the Hebrews, the so-called Jews, they can go back so far they can lay claim to that which actually is not theirs. But the reason they can claim it is because nobody else that they're dealing with can go back far enough to dispute. But the Muslims. Do you understand? So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's mission is to teach the so-called Negroes a knowledge of history. The history of ourselves, our own time. And by giving us a knowledge of this history concerning...
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We have a caller. Caller 720 last 42862. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Chris Shimada, Denver.
Hey, brother Chris Shimada, how you doing?
I'm all right. What's going on, Chris Shimada? How you doing, brother? Peace. Peace, God.
Peace.
We got
peace,
the elder
man.
Brother Melchizedek, who was under Malcolm X back in the 60s. He's on the line right now. He's about what's your degree again, Melchizedek?
86. Billy Quality.
86. Billy Quality. Yeah, he Billy Quality. Chris Shimada, no mathematics.
Yeah.
He's a brother out of Denver.
Yeah.
Yeah, true indeed.
Yeah.
So we'll just I had asked Melchizedek a question before the clip came on concerning how can we or what can we do to have the same kind of movement that they or the same kind of growth and development program that they have then now. How can we do the same thing they did then now? Or what can we do to have the same impact now as they had then? Other community leaders and other community activists. Such as Malcolm X.
Keep available all of the lectures, all the material, all Malcolm's CDs, DVDs, and so forth. Keep all of the Malcolm's teachings available for the people. That's how you can do it. Okay? As long as you keep it alive, like I do with all the publications of the Most Honorable Islamic, you got to keep everything available for the people. You know what I'm saying? You all got websites. You got websites. You got Facebook. You got YouTube. You got Instagram. Flood it. Flood those channels with the lectures of Minister Malcolm. Everything you got, put it on YouTube. Put it on Facebook. Put it on Twitter, Instagram, everywhere. Flood. You got modern technology. Okay? So you can reach people all over the world now. You got the technology to reach people all over the world. Your audience, YouTube is like that's your audience. Facebook is your audience. Instagram is your audience. So supply them. Everything about positive lectures, everything pertaining to Malcolm X, make it available for the people and flood that YouTube and Facebook with Malcolm's lectures. And then you bring about a mental resurrection.
Thank you very much.
Because they're all over now. They're all over America. You in Denver. How are you going to reach the ones in California, Mississippi, Georgia? You okay? In North Carolina, South Carolina. How are you going to reach? You can reach them with what? YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. You understand what you're doing now? These here lectures that you're doing now. And then you always advertise your next gathering. Advertise it. If you want to bring everybody together, say two or three weeks from now, advertise it today. Put a flyer out there. Such a date and time. Malcolm X speaks. Okay? It could be the message of the grassroots, the black man's history, the battle of the bullet, whatever. All that positive material that was left by all those great, great gods that came in front of us, all their material, flood YouTube and Facebook with all that material. When you're all over the world, you're gonna be brothers and sisters that's all over in all over America. Okay,
yes,
because if you're in Denver, how are you going to reach the one in North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia? They want to hear it too. So the only way you can reach them is do what? Make it available. Keep everything of Malcolm X and the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad available for the people.
Indeed.
That's the only way you can do it today. Everybody's out there on YouTube and Facebook and Instagram. Everybody. Everything is out there. Flood it with that positive knowledge.
So make the knowledge available.
Make
the knowledge available for the people. Okay.
Keep
so
it available.
Feed the people feed the people's minds is what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay.
How you going? Okay, how are you going to reach them? They're all over the country. How are you going to reach them all over the country? Now you got a machine to do that. You got technical knowledge to do that. What do you say?
Somebody background.
Oh, you know what I'm saying? You can reach everything you have of Malcolm, lectures and so forth, and porches, whatever. Flood YouTube with it. Flood Facebook with it. Flood Instagram with it. Twitter too, everything. Flood it. Keep it available. And you'll be teaching brothers and sisters all over the country that you never seen. That you never seen. You'll be teaching them.
Right.
Right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Chris Mata, what you got to add on, Chris Mata?
A lot of people there don't want to learn. I'm here. A lot of people don't want to learn. You can flood anything on any internet, anything. But the way it is in this life, people don't want to learn. People want to live and suck the balls of a white man. And that's both.
No.
Male and female.
Hold on.
Because I'm not finished.
Hello,
a lot of times, people, they want to sit up there, you know, like, you can sit up there and put all the information you want on there for people to learn and to do. But if they're not ready and they're not awakened, and a lot of them aren't, you know, you have to know and come at it at another way as far as, like, just giving, like, different lectures, because like you have people that get up there and talk about Moors and stuff like that. I'm not a Moor, because Moor don't mean what they say Moor means, you know, especially when you read the Madu Tutu or the Madu Natir, you know, our comedic language. So when you start learning these type of words and you start awakening, it's usually on the person's growth. You have to sit there and be next. You have to be one-on-one, but you have to know how to guide them. And I'm tired of guiding, trying to guide people into different little things, because people don't want to learn. People want to go their own way. So that's on them. You know, if you want to learn something, you have to be open for it.
Okay.
If they want to learn it, it's available for them, because you're making it available, is what the brother Melchizedek is saying. Correct, Melchizedek?
Right. We are not the judge. Our job is to keep it available. People have choice. Those who's for it is going to receive it. Everybody don't come into the understanding at the same time. A person that you feel don't want to hear it today, that's on a Monday. Maybe they want to hear it Tuesday. Some hear it Wednesday. Some hear it Thursday. Everybody has their day to come into this knowledge with an understanding. We're not the judge. Our position is to keep it available for everybody and let everybody make choice. You got to give people choice to accept or reject. But you cannot give them that choice if you don't keep it available. Okay? If you had saw me, you would have said, well, man, he ain't going to never get conscious. You okay? Everybody had their day and time to come into consciousness. We are not the judge. Our responsibility is those who are conscious is make it available for those who are not conscious and let them decide whether they want to accept it or not. But they won't have no excuse to say it wasn't available.
So the question is, if you know yourself, do you know yourself? Do you know yourself? You know, they always say self-knowledge sets you free. Most people don't have self-knowledge because they don't know themselves. So how are you going to know yourself and you're trying to get somebody, you know what I'm saying, to understand? You know, that's why I have a lot of beef with a lot of people now. And that's why I chose now to just go ahead and just be by myself and just let it come to me, you know, because I'm done trying to be a teacher.
That's your duty as a civilized white man. The duty of a civilized person is to teach you who is uncivilized.
There you go.
You see what I'm saying?
There you go.
So you're the civilized person, God, Krishmata, you're the civilized person. So it's whether they get it or not, your duty is to civilize and to teach. And sometimes the best way to teach is through example. So I ain't telling you to go out on the corner and preach and all that shit, but just teaching through example, because people are watching what you do and people are listening to what you say. So you know, it's
true.
Like today. Today's mathematics. You got a two and a zero, right? So the two is a symbol of wisdom. So you put forth the wisdom to the people around you, because that's the circle around you, the people around you. That's the circle, the zero. You know, and sooner or later they gonna get it. It's gonna complete 360. Those who were supposed to get it are gonna get it. They gonna get it. They gonna understand it.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And they're gonna be able to sustain and maintain that knowledge for themselves. But if it ain't out there and it's a desert, they ain't never gonna get the water.
Right.
Until somebody leads them to the water. You know what I mean?
And we are not the judge. Right. We are not the judge. Our responsibility for those who have it is to make it available for everybody and let everybody make their choice. Those who is for going to receive it, and those who is not for, that's on them, but they can never say that it wasn't available for them.
Who is the devil is the question. Who is the devil? You know, but I'm saying, like, for the people that don't know, you know what I'm saying?
Well, once, how are they going to know if you don't make
yourself,
it
if you when well, you learn how to conquer wait. Yourself When you learn how to
But how they gonna
yourself,
But how they gonna know and that if you don't make it available for them? They got
well,
to see
listen,
it. They got
can,
to hear
can,
it.
You can have sinners, you can have people preaching, and nothing changed no more than when Malcolm X all the way down to Marcus Garvey and our own people put him away. And he had main big instruments, you know what I'm saying? And if you read the Black Bourgeois book, it'll sit there and tell you, you know, some niggas is just, look, I told a white boy, the war is not against you because you're a disintegrated Asian, as Dr. Malachi Z. York called him. And on top of that, I said, it was fallen black people that was fallen. We was fighting with our own selves. You see what I'm saying? And we still going through it to this day, but the only difference is that there's going to be a different change. But, you know, that change is going to come when you realize the change in yourself. Because of what they say, if you want to change the world, you got to change yourself first. You see what I'm saying? A lot of people ain't
But
on
you
that
can't
knowledge
change
yet
yourself
because,
if you don't have the knowledge. If you're not exposed to the knowledge, how are you going to change yourself? You got to be exposed to the knowledge.
Right.
And let me tell you something about this here. A lot of people got this black-on-black crime. Hey, Chinese kill Chinese. Japanese kill Japanese. Every culture on earth, it kill each other. It ain't just black on black. Everybody say black on black crime. Jews kill Jews. Chinese kill Chinese. Italians kill Italians. Every nation.
And white boys go up.
You have an element. Every nation you have. No. Every nation you have an element of a percentage of those negative minded ones that bring about those negative activities. It's not just black America. Indians was killing each other. Africans was killing each other for tribal wars for years. You're always going
to
have a percentage of negative challenging the... I beg your pardon?
I said Africans
you're always
going to... So, I mean, that's kind of irrelevant.
No.
Really
my point is this. Don't take the excuse because of some negative ones who don't accept it that's the majority. No. You got negative in everything, but the negative not the majority. And you'd be surprised the people that listened to the positive and made a life for themselves. Okay?
You might have misunderstood and probably didn't comprehend what I was saying. But when I said there is no other race but melanated people, there were some that fell. And the ones that fell for a reason, because they wasn't trying to go with the law and the order that you're supposed to. So they went disorder and started.
Yeah, that was Yaku's people.
Yeah, so if that was freaking black folks, a percentage, you got 100%, you got a 150, you got 50% of that 100 that just fell, and we were supposed to get them to get back on track, I'm going to say about 25% of them might get back, and the other 25 we'll see. You see what I'm saying? But the 25 that we'll see is the ones that sitting up there kissing white folks' ass and sitting up there that don't give a fuck about you, me, or nobody on this line or nowhere else. Because when you have a father's spirit, you don't care.
You got that mentality in every – you got – hold it. You got that mentality in every nation. That's why, according to the lessons, you got what? The 5,
but listen,
10,
every,
and 85.
Every nation started from a melanated person. That's what I'm saying. It's
true.
It's
yeah,
not,
black man is the root of everything, God. The
black man
is the root
of
everything.
Brother. Black
yeah.
man is God. Everything comes from the black man. He's the black man's the
yeah.
father of everything. But you got the 5, 10, 85. Hold on. You got the 5, 10, and 85% in every. If you go to China, you got 5, 10, 85. You go to Japan, 5, 10, 85. And no matter where you go in this world, there's 5, 10, and 85. Okay, 10% bloodsuckers of poor people, 5% poor righteous teachers, 85% deaf, dumb, and blind. Every nation got that. Every nation. You got 5, 10, 85. And it's a 5% responsibility to make the knowledge, wisdom, understanding born and available to the 85. And the 85 has the right to have choice whether they accept it or not.
Right.
It's the 5% responsibility to keep it available so they can't use the excuse that they never heard it.
Right. Because the chosen ones choose themselves and do all the truth, and either you're going to choose up or lose up. And if you lose up, then you're making the wrong choice.
Right.
Now, check this out.
Right.
You know, 25% of each, you got 25% that mind that is ignorant, and you got the 25% of those that's waking. Now, when you take those two numbers, 5 and 5, you're going to get 10% that's going to make a spook. It's going to create something that's of their own illusion to get the rest of the masses out there and destroyed. So my point again is that the time is coming where those 2 5 is going to make it through 1. You see what I'm saying? Percent of everything. And they still are there. They still are shit. But it's like even the shit that they steal, it was just more like they didn't understand what they was trying to walk upon anyways. Because, you know, like, I'm a numerologist, so I know numbers well. And when I sit up there and I look at stuff, that's why sometimes I just shut up. I'll talk. But I know that I got to be real careful on
so you
where
ain't,
I leave
no,
my
you ain't
su- too.
No. I don't care where you are. You're not supposed to shut up. You're supposed to make your knowledge
known
and show
when
and prove.
When I say shut up, it's for the fact is because we have men and women of melanated people who are not there, and they probably choose not to be there. So you can sit up there and you can, like, push it and talk. The only way that they're going to receive the information that they need to receive is when they open up their eyes and realize themselves. What is my purpose?
But the information got to be out there, though, for them to see it.
No. See, it's only one thing I disagree with what you're saying. You're setting yourself up as a judge. You're not the judge. Your job is to provide, not judge.
Provide. So, but you just said, first of all, you just put words in my mouth, and I'm not setting myself up as a judge. And for you to sit up there and say that, a judge.
No, he's just saying, don't judge, God.
Well, no,
don't
I don't judge, but I'm saying, but listen, the first thing is a judge, you know what I'm saying, provides too, because a judge sits up there and give honor on what a judge thinks. What I said is I just sit back, you know, because
right. You
can have all the fucking information out there and you can dish it out to everybody in the world. You know what I'm saying? But eventually it's going to come to the end where some people is not going to, hold on, is not going to like what you say.
What's going to
do? That's when you start seeing assassinations and you start having people killed. So sometimes when I say shut up, I should have said it in the correct way and say be still. See, I'm like a Dow. Right. You know what I'm saying? So the Dow, I'll be still, but I move like a king. You see what I'm saying? You know, it's too bad our queens, we got to show them.
All the brothers
saying,
Pardon me, Pierce. I just want to clarify something. The brother's just saying, don't be judgmental
toward
people. That's all he's saying. And he the elder guy, and he ain't going to say nothing that's wrong. But what I'm saying
I'm not disagreeing with nobody.
Okay.
All I'm saying is those who have the knowledge, wisdom, understanding, it's your responsibility to make it available for everybody and let everybody make their choice to it, like the messenger said, accept or reject. That's on them. But they can't make no excuse that they never heard it or that it wasn't available. That's what I'm saying.
That's all. Trust me, man, listen. One thing that I am not is somebody to go get, especially like if it's an elder or somebody that's younger, older, it doesn't, you know what I'm saying? Because you got the youngers and you got the olders, which I am. But I'm not an elder like you. You see what I'm saying? But you have to learn how to sit up there and take in the stuff. You give and receive, and that's even with people. So I give, but I also want to receive back. Because if I can't receive back and I say I know it all, I'm shutting my whole chakras down, my karakata, as they call it. And I won't be able to
rise
because I might listen. No, I'm not saying you. I'm saying in general.
But just remember, the more you give, the more you're going to receive. The more you give, the more you put out, the more you're going to receive. You can't add on unless you put out. And the more you put out to the elevation of your people, you're going to receive. You ain't going to never run out of wisdom. You're never going to run out. When you're about caring and sharing divine wisdom, knowledge, understanding with your people, you're never going to run out. You're going to always receive. Because you're connected with universal force and power. And the universal force and power, the essence of that is what? Caring and sharing. And the more you care and the more you share is the more you're going to receive.
Word is bond. Word is bond.
That's word.
I just, you know, the brother, you know, Chris Mata, very knowledgeable brother. I just want to tell you I respect your knowledge, Chris Mata. And,
I respect his knowledge too.
Yeah.
No, there's no disrespect here. We're having a conversation.
Hey, man, it's
no
God
disrespect.
Like us that sit up there that makes it come through. But see, if you notice, when you have an elder God, elder, and then you have the older, you know, and I believe there's a difference between that because in order to be an elder, a teacher, you're still in your older status. That's why the younger guys look up to the older and the elders. But they don't understand the older because they don't understand the whole status about an elder. Like, you've seen stuff that we didn't see, but you've given us that knowledge. You know what I'm saying? Unless we wake up. Like, I'm at my 120 right now. You see what I'm saying? Like, real shit. I'm still trying to get to the next 80 and going on to my numbers. You know what I'm saying? But I feel like I'm at higher numbers, the 180
okay.
to 190. You know, but I studied
okay.
this. The planets and
okay,
myself,
now, and check this out. You got your 120, but there God had made a sacrifice, and he took a sacrifice and a price. Must be a sacrifice. Went through great trials, tribulations, and sacrifices for you to have 120.
Yeah, that's
true. Back there in the day when the father of the God nation, Clan 13X, was circulating the 120. You understand? Them babies was young. They was 12, 13, 14, and 15 years old, okay? Because I was circulating 120s all over New York. You understand what I'm trying to say? But my point is, it was a sacrifice. Trials, tribulations, and sacrifices was made for the gods for you to have 120. So just like it was sacrifices, trials, tribulations, sacrifice for you to have 120, you're going to have to make the same sacrifices for others that you come in contact with to receive 120. You understand? It's a forward ever and a backward never. All I'm saying is whatever we have, of knowledge, wisdom, understanding. We have to keep it available for the young generation come behind us. Because if we don't keep it available for what's coming behind us, they won't have nothing. You understand my point?
Yep. Yeah.
And the only way you can keep wisdom, only wisdom you can keep wisdom alive, you can do what? You got to share it amongst your people.
Oh, I do that all the time. But see, the part that I say is
you're doing your job.
Yeah, it's just, it's frustrating when you try to, when you, like,
no.
When you're trying to share it with people and they're unconscious and on that level, see, like, with myself, I know I don't like to beat nobody over the head, but I want to get it right. Like, listen, man, you're not doing it like this, you know. But, like, I once had to go on my own teachings of myself. You can be a teacher, but you have to learn how to be a student. And even when you're a student, you have to know how to be a good student to be a good teacher. So it's a balance.
I'm a student of life, brother. To student be a real of the good, universe, 360. Yeah,
yeah. You know what I'm saying, man? Like, it's...
And there you go. Have you ever been to my website? The whole 120 is on my website in front of the world.
Man,
website. No, hold on. Go to my website, universalsupremeshabazzalaw.com. All them lessons been on in front of the world, brother. And
he
you'd be surprised
back. He don't
the
hold
people.
Back. Not even
you'd
one bit.
You'd be surprised. Thousands have went there and made copies of those lessons off the website, brother.
And you know what? And that's
all over the country.
Because my son, right? My son, my oldest. Like, I'm getting my daughter into it right now. But I remember my son, like, he wrote out the Mathematics Supreme book. And I was like, what? I said, what you know about that? He said, man, Dad, he's like, as much as you used to, like, teach me, and I used to listen in on the stuff that you did, he said, you know, I was explaining to my girl, because this girl is actually, she's Mexican, Native American, black. But he was explaining to her about the Asiatic black man and woman, and he was breaking it down, and it was like me looking at myself when I was younger. You know what I'm saying? Like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember the first time when the Nation of God came to me, you know, and I went and I was living on the east side. And I was like, yo, man, told my cousin, you know, I was like, I started looking it up. Like, man, I'm trying to learn about the Nation of God. And then hooked me up with one of my brothers, you know what I'm saying? And it went from there. He's like, I didn't want to be a Nation of God person. We start building but the point I'm saying is that the information is out there. As long as you teach it,
whether you
teach it to your seeds, you teach it to your earth, you teach
that's
it to anybody, it's out there.
Right.
I'm agreeing with you.
Right.
Trust me, man. Like, I don't have this talk on reservations. I only have certain family members I can talk to about this and certain friends. You know what I'm saying? Other than that, motherfuckers think I'm crazy. You know what I'm saying? I look at them like they're crazy because I'm like, you know, if you knew my art which is really mathematics, you know what I'm saying? You would know the real true thing about the Houdini and my art, which is really the true mathematics around the circle, you know, the cycle, which is basically yourself, because we always in the center of ourselves before we can come out. So, yeah, I don't know.
The law of
but
God,
the
law of the universe, brother. Hell yeah.
Always.
My art is like, my art is mathematics, the same thing.
All those publications is on the worldwide internet, brother. And you have no idea the people that's ordering them publications. You go to my website and go to publications. You're going to see all them books, Supreme Wisdom, FY Training Manual, the Proper Handling of People, the Accomplishment of the Muslim. The whole 9 yards is right there available in front of the world, brother. And you have no idea that's taking advantage and getting all that publication, getting that wisdom, just like the 120s and everything. I don't know if you're from New York, But the 120, when I had two locations, in Medina and one in Mecca, that was the distribution center for the lessons. I was giving the lessons out, the whole package, for years. The guys tell you that.
And what's funny is, I was born and raised here, but when I talk to people, they would think that I was from, New York. But, I had gotten accepted to a couple of, black colleges. The colleges that I was going to was Mega Evans College. And Mega Evans College is in Brooklyn, right in the center of Brooklyn. You know what I'm saying? So when all these niggas is up here, man, trying to dress like they from the East Coast and try to pull a chick on some dumb blonde chick, I was really studying the sciences because I was like, damn, man, I want to know how I could rise up out of my situation to help my people.
Right, true,
you know?
Good, right.
So
right.
I didn't get a chance to go there, but I got family in New York. You know, I just met a chick, man. I think she's like Boricum, you know what I'm saying? From back, I don't want to say Mount Vernon or some New York or somewhere. But
Mount Vernon.
You know what I'm saying? You know, and it's funny because it's a long story, but anyway, I've run into people, and then they watch me, how I act and how I talk and how I present myself. Because, once you're a God, you know what I'm saying? You know, it's kind of like Bobby Hemming said, generator or destroyer. You know what I'm saying? You generate or you destroy through your creativity. You know what I'm saying? You got to learn your ability and how to use it and how not to use it. But I don't never shut off no information because I was like, every information is power. That's words moving forward. That's things that come into things. You see what I'm saying? And
close mouth don't get fed, man.
It don't, man. And I'm a big mouth. I like to talk. I like to feed our people. He's like, yo, son, what you doing, son? Dude's going to tell me. He's like, what do you mean by son? And I said, dude, you know what son means? Son means is that I'm the son like you're a son, and we giving each other light. So if I'm giving you light, and I say, what's up, son? I'm like, dude, it's like, no, I'm giving you light, you know, even to our earth, you know what I'm saying? Because the earth needs the sun so it can produce, so it can live, so it don't die out and be cold. So I stood up there and I dropped that knot.
Yeah, good.
You know what I'm saying?
Beautiful. I'm big up
to everybody on this line, too, you know what I'm saying? Real shit, because it's, we're living in a crazy time right now where the gods are already here. They're already awakened. Now it's just time for us to rise into the places and take over.
You're doing your job.
Brother Master Deck, I appreciate y'all. You know what I'm saying? I really do, because that's real love. You know what I'm saying?
I want you to go on that website, UniversalSupremeShabazzAllah.com. All them lessons is right there. Been there for years.
All right.
Yeah.
UniversalSupremeShabazzAllah.com.
I pulled it up.
I'm gonna pull it up on my phone right now. Hold up.
UniversalSupremeShabazzAllah.com. Pull it up.
You said
check
universal?
Your message, Chris Amada.
Huh?
Check your message.
You got it?
Yeah, I'm checking it.
You got it?
Must have sent it to him.
What was it?
Universal Supreme ShabazzAllah.com. Okay. Universal Supreme ShabazzAllah.com. Let's go to the menu.
Yeah, I got it.
You got it? Now look in the corner, you're going to see menu. When you go to menu, you're going to see wisdom, lessons, publications, everything is there. And share with everybody that you come in contact with.
Oh, shit. Everything is there. How long has this website been up?
22 years.
Man, I think 22
years.
Yeah, man. I think I was on a website, man, because I – okay, yeah. I think, man –
22
okay.
years. And guess what?
And that's you. When that's you the, on there right there.
Yeah, that's my son.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I was like, man, I swear to God, was this shit up in the – I mean, like, not saying shit like that, but I'm just, like, hype right now. Was this up in the 90s, like 97?
Yes.
Man,
Ninety-seven is under the other heading, the Nation of Islam. I had two at the same time. The Nation of Islam .com was mine, and Universal Supreme Shabazz Allah. Those two were my sites, and I put the lessons.
You was the Nation of Islam .com. You put a lot of the speeches of Muhammad.
I beg your pardon. I put it on the lessons.
So,
right
you had all the yeah. You put all the lectures
so
on there back
on
in the day.
I had oh
and
wow,
women and the publications. The book you got, The Gods and Earth, the 120, the yellow book is there. I supply the whole country with those.
Wow.
Go to publications.
Because it's a small world. I swear. Because I was just telling. Because my son, man, when I used to, like, man, I used to be on the computer, like, I would pull up all kind of universal science. And I do remember pulling up, which that's why I kept thinking, like, wait a minute, man. This had to came out, like, it had to be around, like, in 97. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I was like, it had to be around in 97 because I got pictures that I printed that I was writing, like, little, like, my own version of newsletters, but I was just passing to, like, people in my neighborhood, you know, like, friends and shit. I was like, man, check this shit out. And it's like, damn. And everybody, and that's how, like, my brother and all that, that's funny, man. I would not have known that I'm talking to the guy whose website I actually know. From 97.
Now, check this out.
Wow.
You ain't got nothing. Now, check this out. You ain't got no website on the worldwide internet that can surpass the wisdom that's on that site.
Mm-mm. Hell no. Hell no.
Thank you.
And I know because
and guess what?
I remember seeing it. And then when I looked at your face, I was like, wait a minute, man. I've seen this brother's website before. I said, man,
okay.
This is back in the 90s. So that's why
yeah,
when you sat there and said it.
And guess what? I'm on Netflix. Also on Netflix with Muhammad Ali, Malcolm X, and the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And the name of it is Blood Brothers.
Mm. Blood Brothers. Yep.
On Netflix. On Netflix.
That's what's up, man.
Now
man,
you want to see some interviews? You type my name in Melchizedek Shabazz Allah, and all them interviews. I got about 100 interviews out there.
Yup.
Baba TV
yeah,
every time
actually,
fire.
That's actually a real good movie too. A real good documentary
hey,
thank you.
About that.
Hey, everybody, we're down to our last 6 minutes, so start giving me applause. We're going to go in the overtime.
I love and respect for all of y'all. You're doing a good job, and keep up the good work. And I'm
thank
proud
you.
Of
tell
you.
Them where they
I
can
love
find
you.
Message.
I respect
they tell
you.
Them where they can find
I
you.
I love you. I respect you, and I'm proud of you. And keep up the good work. Keep that knowledge circling
thank
all
you,
over the world.
Yes.
Man, I'm
okay.
Where can they find you, Melchizedek? Tell them where they can find you on Baba TV. What?
Baba TV every time fire. Baba TV every time fire. And I'm doing an interview Sunday at 7 o'clock. And guess what? And Black News 102, House of Conscience, Sarnetta. And Infinite Allah School in Mecca. I'm on his channel. Land Shabazz, I'm on his channel. When you type in Melchizedek Shabazz Allah, everything gonna come up.
Word. Thank you so much for joining us today, Melchizedek Shabazz.
Now keep up the good work. and share, so share it. Everything you see, share it.
Can I ask you a question, brother?
Go ahead.
So is the school of Mecca, that's in Brooklyn, right?
No, Manhattan.
No, it's in Harlem.
Manhattan.
Yeah, Harlem.
Okay, because they have one in Brooklyn too.
Yeah, they have the Akbar School. Akbar set that up on the Livonia Avenue. And
okay,
the one
yeah,
in Manhattan
so
is going
really
on 7th. Yo, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. In fact, they're getting ready for a big show and prove June 13th. Show and prove, they come from all over the country to New York to the show and prove. Guards come from all over New York.
Yes, sir.
And I also manufactured the flags, all the universal flags.
Word.
See, man, that's a huge God, man. So, hey, is there a way that I can, like, donate some money and get a flag and then even to, like, the nation, too?
You got my number. Call me. You got my
I'll give you his number. I'll give you his number.
Yeah.
He got that right on the website.
Well, I'm giving I got to go take my test next week because I'm about to become a licensed certified astrologer. And I'm actually getting ready to build the Geocosmic Research Center out here. So I've been busy with that and talking to people. But I would love to sit up there and have you come through, brother. You know what I'm saying? Especially our other guys to sit up there and teach. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, like, Ramel, everybody on this line, man, you brother, like I said, man, love you for that. You know what I'm saying? Because
I'm trying to make this move.
Yeah.
Now you see the website. Now share the website with everybody. Let them know they can go.
And you can
make printout copies of everything on there. It's free because I pay for it. It's free.
Man, brother, well, we're gonna be paying together because you have to realize I got a line of young soldiers.
Beautiful.
We're gonna hook it up. Now, if you got a line of soldiers trying to get on there.
Supply them with the 120 and a flag. 120 and a flag.
Oh, I got to get one. Okay.
So, yeah, we got the last 2 minutes, y'all. So, anybody else got any statements?
Yeah, I got something I want to say real quick. Thank y'all all for joining our show today. Thank you. This has been brought to you by frontlinecampaign.org. Check out RommelUnderstanding@gmail.com. You can call me 719-924-0481. I'm giving out mixtapes. I'm giving out books. I'm giving out spoken word, digital audio books. So check us out, frontlinecampaign.org. Salute to the fallen soldiers. Peace.
Yes.
Peace.
Thank you all for tuning in to this episode of Shabaka's Buck Experience Enhanced. Tribute to Malcolm X on his 94th birthday. We're going to go out with the Honorable Malcolm X. Peace, love, light, and black empowerment.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, to whom all praise is due, whom we forever thank for giving us the Honorable Elijah Muhammad as our leader, teacher, and guide. And I specifically, ladies and gentlemen, and brothers and sisters, open up like that because I am a representative of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And were it not for him, you and I wouldn't be here today. In order for you and me to devise some kind of method or strategy to offset some of the events or a repetition of the events that have taken place here in Los Angeles recently, we have to go to the root. We have to go to the cause. Dealing with the condition itself is not enough. We have to get to the cause of it all, or the root of it all. And it is because of our effort toward getting straight to the root that people oftentimes think we are dealing in hate. But first, I would like to congratulate and give praise to the Negro, so-called Negro leaders and so-called Negro organizations. And excuse me if I say so-called, it's hard for me to just outright say Negro when I know what that word Negro really means. The person whom you have come to know as Ronald Stokes, we know him as Brother Ronald, one of the most religious persons who displayed the highest form of morals of any black person anywhere on this earth. And as one of the previous speakers pointed out who knew him, everyone who knew him had to give him credit for being a good man, a clean man, an intelligent man, and an innocent man when he was murdered. The Negro, so-called Negro organizations and leaders should be given great credit for their failure or refusal to let the white man divide them and use them one against the other during this crisis. As Reverend Welford Wilson pointed out, I think it was 8 years ago today that the Supreme Court handed down the desegregation decision. And despite the fact that 8 years have gone past, that decision hasn't been implemented yet.